fit for life. Your biblical pathway to success. Make this year your best year by studying to show yourself approved. Join us in our new Fit for Life classes to follow your biblical pathway to success. This is a class for everyone, whether you are a new believer or a mature believer. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the Fit for Life class.
Because there's so much that the Holy Spirit does for us. He is everything we could ever want. And I know who is the Holy Spirit is, you know, what I'm supposed to be teaching today. And, you know, and that's a question many people ask. And people ask that if they don't study. Because the Bible tells you exactly who the Holy Spirit is and what he does for us. And there have been many ways the Holy Spirit has been described throughout history. First of all, he's a person. He's a spiritual person. And instead of people saying the Holy Spirit, it. No, he's not an it. He's a person, a spiritual person, as stated in Isaiah 63 and so many other scriptures. Actually call the Holy Spirit he. He's described as the wind and the breath in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament he's described as a counselor, a teacher, power, a promise, and a presence. To be able to explain truly who the Holy Spirit is part of the three-in-one union, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It can only be done through the revelation of, guess who? The Holy Spirit. Because he tells us and drops everything into our spirits that God wants us to know. Amen. One thing that I can testify is that he's a gift. And he's always, always instructing us and warning us and speaking to us through our whole life. You know, and every day, every second, he's dropping things into our spirit, into our minds, into our hearts, and what we should be doing. He's a messenger of God, a messenger for God. Actually, he's the voice of God because he gets the perfect message from God and drops it in us, in our spirits, in our minds, for us to do what God wants us to do. Amen. He's that still small voice that we hear in our minds, when and he gives us a check sometimes in our spirit when we're about to do something that we shouldn't do or say something or go somewhere that doesn't line up with what God wants us to do at the time. And I don't know how many times that, you know, even growing up, you have that check, and a lot of times we ignore it. But sometimes, we didn't know who it was, though. We didn't know what it was. So we just thought, oh, I'll just go anyway, or I'll just do that anyway. But that was the Holy Spirit giving us a check in our spirit, even before we were saved, because we're spirit beings. So he's giving us a check to say, hey, think about that. Don't do that. And so many times, we just bypass it. And now that we're saved and studying about who he is and knows what he's doing and how he helps us, it's like, man, all these times, boy, Holy Spirit, thank you for saving me. Because sometimes it's just like, where would he be? Would we be? I mean, I look at people now and even younger people, and they have no clue on what they should do. People are always talking about how confused they are. What do I do with my life? You know, look at the kids that don't know who they are. Am I a male or I am a female? Or, you know, they go back and forth. Well, you know, they're ignoring the Holy Spirit because he's telling them who they are. and we just ignore it. And I thought about that, and it's like, man, that is so crazy. And even when I went about, when I got fired from a job, and it was like, what's going on here? I really didn't do anything wrong. But then I felt myself getting depressed. Actually, I didn't know I was getting depressed. I was just hanging around and thought, okay, I don't feel like doing anything. I'm just going to sit here and watch TV. And then that voice, this is not you, came came up in my mind, and oh, okay, yeah, you're right. And, but how many times do we talk to ourselves because we hear things, and then we talk to ourselves? A lot of times that's the Holy Spirit telling, hey, he's telling us something. We go, and that's why we answer, yeah. Because the devil's not going to tell us not to do something we shouldn't be doing. But the Holy Spirit is always tending to our needs, always giving us instruction, always counseling us, always giving us the little gold nuggets that God wants us to know. Amen. The Holy Spirit has many characteristics because he's God. And God said what? He create us in his image and in his likeness. The gifts of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, understanding, patience, long-suffering, which means we keep going no matter if things don't look right. And that's who he is. And that's what God gave us. And how interesting that who he is what God put inside of us. So how our spirits kind of intertwine. He unites us with Jesus Christ when we get saved. He's personal. And he does get, sometimes we think, too personal, because we get those little checks and it's like, okay, I didn't want to hear that, or I didn't want to, why am I thinking that? I want to do this, really. But that's the Holy Spirit giving us that check and telling us stuff we don't even want to hear sometimes. And thank God for that. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be resisted. He can be insulted. And what other spirit can do that? What other person? Only that, a spiritual person. He has emotions just like us. Isn't that interesting when you think about it, how the Holy Spirit has emotions just like us? Something can grieve him. Something can insult him. And we have the same thing. An impersonal force can't have those types of things. The Holy Spirit is God, co-equal with God the Father and the Son. They are the same. They have the same essence. He shares the same divine attributes as the Father and the Son, yet they're distinctively different in their personal relationships. The Holy Spirit is described for us in John 14:26. And I love John. When you go through that, I mean, the Bible is so much. I was going through there reading and studying. And when you really pinpoint something you want to study, you see it everywhere. you see it everywhere. But usually when we just read the Bible, we don't always see what we need to see, or we just overlook a lot of things. But usually you read through the Bible and you don't pay too much attention when it talks about the Holy Spirit. But I was looking at it when I was studying. I'm like, man, there's so much in here that tells you about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, and all types of things. And it's everywhere, Old Testament, New Testament. And I'm like, man. But John, really, I really like it because it digs down deep in who he is and what he does. And John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, our standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. And sometimes we forget that what's already in us, he can bring it up to our, in the forefront of our minds. So we're reminded of things we learned a while ago that sometimes we think we forget, but it's really in our memory banks, and he kind of goes through the files and brings it back up to us. And that's what he does. And that's like, thank you, Lord. Because sometimes people always say you forget so many things as you get older and all that stuff. So the Holy Spirit doesn't get old. So even though we might think we forget, it's still in there. The Holy Spirit, just tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, bring it back so I can remember what it is, or bring to recall what it is. That's a pretty good description of the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus can describe the Holy Spirit that way, I think we can hold on to that description of him, no matter what we hear today, or some places. I don't even know how people live when they're not taught about the Holy Spirit. for the people not to even think that he exists. It's like, do you not read your Bible? Because he's everywhere. And the term Holy Spirit appears 40 times in Acts, and all of these reminds us that the Holy Spirit, how very important he is to us and to God. But 40 times in Acts, 5 times in Matthew, 4 times in Mark, 33 times in Luke, 3 times in John, 16 times in Paul's writings, 5 times in Hebrews, 2 times in Peter's writings. And of course, we all know that Luke wrote Acts and Luke. And so we can say he's mentioned meant the Holy Spirit 53 times. So he is like throughout the whole Bible, throughout the whole teachings. The Apostle Luke, being a physician, a doctor, he believed the role of the Holy Spirit was important and very significant back then. How much more is he significant to us today? And he was a doctor, so hopefully, thank God there are some doctors who believe and don't always follow what they're told or taught, that the Holy Spirit leads them. In Judaism, the Holy Spirit is the divine force. It's called the divine force, quality, and influence of God over the universe and over his creatures, us. In Hebrew, the term Ruach HaKodesh is a term for Holy Spirit. The words translated into English is spirit, breath, and wind. This word Ruach HaKodesh is used 9 different ways in the Old Testament and 14 in the New Testament. And when you think about the Holy Spirit and you talk about him that way, and it's like, man. And when we invite the Holy Spirit when doing praise and worship, you know, what is it that we're waiting for? It's a feeling. Sometimes I remember back in the day, I think it was Reinhard Bonnke and a couple other people, and it's like, you know, the wind will come through. And sometimes, you know, you thought you really felt the wind come through. And, you know, how much more do we want to feel that now? Because, you know, we're telling the Holy Spirit, we want you here. We want you here. We're waiting for you. But, you know, we have to remember, we have to enter in to the worship to let the Holy Spirit come when we can feel him inside of us. The one root idea deducted through all the passages is he's an invisible force. And like the Bible tells us, God was working behind the scenes, you know, for Queen Esther. The invisible force was working behind the scenes, God, the Holy Spirit, to make things happen the way they needed to happen. Amen. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and he lives in each and every believer. And I don't know how we can get saved, some people, and just think that's it. Because, you know, when we get saved, we're inviting Jesus Christ inside of our hearts. So if we're inviting Jesus Christ, I mean, he's coming with the Spirit of God. And so the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And he's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That is the only way we can become a new creature, right? We can only become a new creature when the Spirit's inside of us and constantly telling us what we should do, what we should change. We can do this. We can overcome this. We don't have to be like that. Because being saved is hard. I know everybody thinks it sounds so easy. Yeah, I got born again. I'm saved. Now your whole life has to change. And you don't even think about that when you are doing it. You're in that moment and, you know, the Spirit of God inside of you say, yes, this is your time. And you raise your hand or you go forward to get prayed for and accept Jesus. Well, you got to do a lot more than that. And some people, that's all they do. And thank God they're saved. But, you know, God says our actions. Actions comes with that. Change comes with that. And it's so hard to actually, once you've been one way so many years of your life, all of a sudden now, what? I got to change? I have to do a 360? I have to drop off some of my friends that I think I love? I have to not say things in front of my family? I have to not go out partying all the time. Not to say that you can't go out, because you can. But you don't have to be looking like a hoochie mama or just be out there doing stuff that you know that would not please God. He wants us to enjoy our lives, but he doesn't want us to act like the world or look like the world. And they make that very hard with, you know, all the designs coming out, the clothing and all that stuff. But it's stuff out there. You just have to hunt for it so you don't look like the world. We don't want to act like the world. And the Holy Spirit checks us to when we look at things and say, okay, that I probably shouldn't be getting that, but it's so cute. But, you know, how can I make this work? What can I do to change it up a little bit? But, you know, that's the Holy Spirit always working with us and being there after we're saved, because it is hard to be saved, to stay saved, because all the influences that are bombarding us constantly and trying to get us to take our eyes off of the Lord and keep it on what they're saying, what man is saying. So it's hard, but we can do it. We've done it. And thank God we have the Holy Spirit so we can continue to do that and continue to grow on a daily basis. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own." And sometimes you hear all the people talking about my body, my choice, and all. You know what? What does the Bible say? We have to examine ourselves and think, this says our body is not our own. What would God want us to do in different situations? And it's hard. It's hard to think that. But in order not to have to think about having an abortion or something, you got to go back and think, don't put yourself in that situation to have to worry about that, you know, afterwards. So there's a whole lot of things that go into our decisions on, he's right, our body is not our own and it is our choice, but let's make the choice the way God wants us to make the choice. How are we going to line up to God? What are we going to say to Jesus when we meet him face to face? And he says, I was watching you. Why did you do that? It's like, oh God. That's why I think the Bible tells us it's going to be a lot of tears. It's going to be a lot of tears at the end, because the things that are brought up that he's asking us what we did. As I read that passage of scripture, it reminds me that Paul, he had to deal with some of those things. He had to deal with some believers who had wrong thinking that were new, because he had to, you're new, I'm trying to teach you, here's what you have to do, don't do that, do this, you know, and there's always a little pushback. And then maybe he had some that have been in the way for a long time. They believed certain things, and now they have to change a little bit. And instead of listening to what he said, because they've been teaching all along, they added their own stuff to it, like the, you know, Sadducees and everything. They heard the word of God, but then they added to it their own things and put their own thoughts ahead of God's thoughts. And isn't that what Jesus came to take away? That was the law, but it was man-made law, not God's law. And we tend to do that sometimes, don't we? We go, yeah, I know what the word says, but I think I know better. Or I've heard say, God made me this way. That's my personality. He made me this way. He did make you a certain way, and he did give you a personality, but we still need to check our personality and our ways and see if it lines up with God. You know, and the Holy Spirit, he's always there to help us and remind us, that's not how God made you. That's not what you should be doing. And I tell you, sometimes it's like, can you stop giving me that little check? I know, because sometimes it's like, you're running, being a Christian. And sometimes, you know, I get all these ideas of what I can do at the church, you know, and because Scott and I, for 30 years, that's been our life, you know, the church. And so we can always think of new things. We should do this. Oh, we need to try this. And then it's like, how are we going to do all that? And then we think, okay, we're just going to do all that. And then we run ourselves ragged. And then and then it's like, okay, I'm going to stop doing that. But we've come to the conclusion it's okay to do some of that stuff, but we need to take time out for ourselves also. We need to take vacations. 30 years, we haven't been on too many vacations. And it's like, we're getting older. We need to take some vacations. We need to, and without our kids. I know we always do vacations. And we're having a family vacation. Okay, everybody come, and we want to do those. But sometimes I have to remind him, like, hey, we need to take some vacations when it's just us. Can we just have some quiet? Can we just, just be with each other, you know, because they're gone. Well, we still have some in our house, but because they came back, you know, we had a little bit of, you know, the empty nester, but some of them came back, and it's like, man, why are we letting them back in? We didn't do that. We were gone. When we were gone and we ran out of money, we just didn't do things because we didn't have any money. And we never even thought about asking our parents to help. We just did it. But now this generation, they come back. They come back. They don't care. Knock on your door, call you. Hey, can I borrow, you know, and it's not little, $50. Can I borrow $500? Can I borrow? And sometimes it's like, okay, wait a minute. We need to put the brakes on some of that. But I'm believing and we're praying we're going to be empty nesters again. But it's also nice, though, to have them there sometimes because we want to keep our family close. We don't want to alienate them. But sometimes we just need a little peace. But the Holy Spirit, Paul was basically saying, hey, you got saved. You invited Jesus into your heart. You are about to be changed. You're a changed person. And he said, don't you realize that Jesus the Christ now lives inside of you? And we sometimes forget that, yeah, Jesus lives in our heart. He's with us all the time. So whatever we choose to do, Jesus is there watching. When you think about it that way, it's like, oh my gosh. God is there watching us. Like everything that we do, what we say, even if we're not in church, he's still there. And sometimes we ignore that fact, but when you get back to it, that's called repentance, right? God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I repent. Help me start over. And guess what? With the Holy Spirit, he does help you start over. And he forgives us. Thank God he sent us the Holy Spirit to communicate with our spirit, our natural spirit, so we can know what to do. The Holy Spirit works with us many, many ways. In the book of Revelations, I believe, chapter 26, it says the Holy Spirit will always be there tending to us. He was always there with Jesus. In the desert, he was tending to Jesus. He's always ministering to him. Well, guess what? He does the same thing for us. He's there all the time to help us. I'm going to put the different ways the Holy Spirit helps and ministers to us in a couple categories to show how he works with us through our mind and through our will, because that's where the enemy attacks us, and that's also where the Holy Spirit works with us to help us and teach us. I call it the seven works of the Holy Spirit. First one is wisdom. It's the first and highest gift of the Holy Spirit because it's the perfection of faith. We see God in our lives working in the world all the time. We see God working all the time through different people, through us. That's why we're so compassionate. Having wisdom means we know which principles to apply in a given context. It's having the power of discernment, judging properly. And wisdom is acquired over time and gained by experience. Sometimes we think, Holy Spirit, just pour the wisdom on me right now. But it doesn't come that way. It comes through experience. The second one is understanding. At times, people have a difficult time, you know, with understanding how it differs from wisdom. But understanding is the lens by which we bring the facts of something into clear focus. And that in turn produces principles. And it's gained through books and study. You gain understanding through books and through studying and reading. And it also builds our faith, because faith comes from understanding and hope. When we understand something, we tend to believe it more. We have more faith for different things. Proverbs 4:7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing, and with all you have gotten, get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation." So like, okay, when we get all that, it's like, okay, now I understand this. Now I'm going to have wisdom because I know what I've studied and what I've read, and I'm believing it. I'm putting it in my spirit, and now I have more information to work with. The third one is counsel, having right judgment, prudence, knowing the difference between right and wrong. Avoid sin and live more like Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit helping us, counseling us. Know the difference between right and wrong. Some people just do things and don't even think about if it's right or wrong now. We see that all the time. I mean, just think of the people, I think Pastor mentioned it, on the college campuses where they're all bowing down, you know, giving their lives or their hearts to Allah, you know, to the Muslim faith, and then you ask them what were they don't even know. They just did it because somebody told them to do it. Where is the knowledge of right and wrong? Where is that? And it's like you're doing things and you don't even know why you're doing it. You don't even know if it's right or if it's wrong. And I think they had on TV that Pastor mentioned, they interviewed these girls that were out there with the flags and Free Palestine and all that, and they were asking them why they were doing it, and they didn't even know. They didn't even know. And it's like, why are you out here? And they said, well, wow, maybe we need to, you know, look at this and study it a little bit more. Well, it's a little late. Yes, you better study it, because you're out here doing things you shouldn't be doing, saying yes to something that's demonic, and there's a consequence. And sometimes people do things, we do things, and we forget about the consequences after what will happen. Amen? So that's what the Holy Spirit helps us do. Number four is knowledge, understanding the meaning of God more than the accumulation of facts. An example, getting examples, truths, commands that God wants us to know, believe, and heed. Being aware of something familiar gained through experience. That's knowledge. Now that you experience something, now you know. You have knowledge about that certain thing. Number five, fortitude or courage. Overcome our fears and is willing to take risk as a believer. Standing for what is right in the sight of God. And how many know you got to have courage to do that? Because like the disciples, they got ridiculed. They got, you know, all kinds of stuff happened to them. Why? Because they stood for what was right, and still, you know, you had to overcome fear to keep doing it. So thank God he gives us courage. The Holy Spirit gives us courage. Having a firm mind, your mind will not be changed on what you believe. With this at times comes with accepting rejection sometimes, verbal abuse sometimes, or harm. That's what the disciples had to contend with. And how many of us know we still contend with that today? You can go up to somebody and say something about God. Well, you know, they might verbally abuse you. They don't want to hear anything you have to say. They might try to harm you, push you away. Or basically, that's why people don't like evangelism that much, because you get rejected. So they had to deal with all that, and still today it hasn't changed. When you try to tell people about God, when you try to tell them you need to change your life, it's so hard for people to do it. So for us to do it, we're led by the Holy Spirit to be able to do it at all, to be able to stand up and say, yes, I want to invite Jesus in my life. Yes, I need to change my life. Yes, I've done this, and I know that it's wrong now. That's the Holy Spirit working inside of us. Number six is reverence or piety. It helps us have a deep sense of respect for God and the church, recognize our total reliance on God, helps us bring ourselves with trust, love, and humbleness before God. And you think about that, a sense of respect for God. How many people do we know that has no respect for God, don't reverence him at all, don't even want to acknowledge God? And like some people say, the atheists out there, they don't believe in God, but let something happen and they call out, "Oh God, I need help, help me." They're the first ones to come out with, "Oh God, help me." Number seven, the fear of the Lord brings an awareness of the glory and majesty of God. It helps us to come to the conclusion that we don't want to offend God. And even with the reverence, you know, we always know we want to love God. We want to trust in what his word says about him. And we need to trust it because his word is true. And we have to remember that. And the fear of the Lord, it does make us not want to come, you know, or hurt God, that we don't want to offend him. And why? Because we reverence him. We love him. We want to do the things that are right because we know he's faithful to us. So we want to be faithful to him. Amen. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. Its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline." And everything we do as Christians comes with discipline. We have to discipline ourselves to do the things that we know God wants us to do and what he tells us to do, what he inspires us to do, what the Holy Spirit keeps knocking on the door saying, "Hey, you need to do this to live holy. You need to do this to move forward in your life. You need to do this to be happy, to have a joyful heart. You need to do this, even if somebody comes against you, remember who you are." The Holy Spirit will always tell you, remember who you are. No matter what comes against you, no matter what somebody says, you don't have to take that and hold on to that. And that's why a lot of people are depressed. That's why a lot of people get their feelings hurt, because they take what people say about them, carry it. Like Pastor did a object lesson one time where he had weights on his back and he walked across the stage. Well, that's people carrying stuff that they don't need to carry. And the Holy Spirit tells us, that's not who you are. You are an overcomer. You are a conqueror. You are a child of the living God. You are filled with the Holy Ghost and power. You are filled with the Spirit of God. You can do all things through Christ, right? So we need to remember those things when people come against us and when people say things that we don't like, might hurt our feelings. And it's okay to have that emotion, but don't live in it. Don't stay there. You know, like I said, some people brush it off and keep on going because you know who you are. The first four, wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge dealt with our minds. It deals with our minds. And the last three, fortitude and courage, reverence, and fear of God deals with our will. So putting it in categories like that, isn't that where the enemy always tries to get us, always tries to, you know, change what we think? It always tries to defeat us, beat us down in those areas. So it's very important that we know that's where the Holy Spirit is helping us, but that's also where the enemy comes and try to change how we feel, how we think, what we should be doing, amen? All of these works of the Holy Spirit help us comprehend how we need to live as a follower of Christ, not confused and conflicted about conflicting messages. We're not conflicted on what the word says. We shouldn't be. But people are always trying to put things in there to, you know, cloud what the word says, to where we can get confused. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of confusion in the world right now. And who's that? That's not God. That's the enemy. So we need to remember that we hear all the things in our lives today, but knowing the Holy Spirit's there to help us comprehend God's word and how we need to live with it, use it, and always study it, because it helps us in our daily lives, we already know that's the Holy Spirit, and we will win. We will move forward in our lives. We won't have to stay and be stagnant where we are. We will always need the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives until Jesus, our Messiah, returns. And how many know when he returns, this world is not going to be the same? And I know they say that, you know, the end of the world. Everybody has that the end of the world thing like it's going to blow up or something. But it's not going to be like that at all. It's just going to be unrecognizable to us because the power of God's going to be here. The Holy Spirit is going to reign. And, you know, and guess what? We're going to be the rulers. When we follow God's word and keep our bodies, you know, like holy in the way we should be, keep our minds fixed on God, the Holy Spirit will help us do all that stuff. And so we will be ruling and reigning, that's what the Bible says, on this earth. And guess what? God created the earth for us. He created it for us. Even though man, you know, people are tearing it up and everything, but when Jesus comes back, the whole thing's going to change and it will look totally different. I always like to picture it as we're going to be living like in the Garden of Eden, because when the Spirit of God comes back, everything's going to change. Trees are going to bloom. Flowers are going to bloom. We're going to have just so many things, riches. We're going to be able to eat real food. Now they're trying to give us, you know, man-made food. I saw something on, I think it was YouTube that I saw it, and Bill Gates was tasting a steak that was made in a lab. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. You know, and me, I don't like bugs, but I did start a garden. I did start a garden. So the other day, I even harvested some of my lettuce, so we had a salad and everything. And I'm like, I am eating something that I know has no preservatives or anything in it. And I thought, okay, so we're gardening, me and my daughter and my grandson. And so we're getting our food that I don't have to go to the store and buy all the time. And if I don't have to eat meat all the time, that's okay with me. But how do you know what's lab made and what's not? And I know they're testing it all out and doing it now. It's not already happening, at least I don't think. But I always tell people, you know, look up Dr. Sebi and see what he says, and look up and what people naturopath and see what they say what we should be eating, because we can get all of our protein and all of our in a whole lot of different ways. And, you know, okay, things that are living, chicken and stuff like that, fish, you know, that's good. We don't have to always have red meat, especially since I saw Bill Gates testing it out and it showed how they were making it and all that stuff. And it didn't look different. But I think they're going to have to put that on there, hopefully. They're going to have to put that on the package or something that is lab made, unless they just try to do it. And like Pastor said, we won't have to eat bugs and all that kind of stuff. And you think about the third world countries, all the stuff that they do eat, and they eat it really, I think, out of necessity, you know, just to keep themselves healthy and alive. But you know what? We live in the United States of America. And we're not going to have to do that. And, you know, we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit on what we should eat, what we should change, where we should go. And thank God he directs us. He directs our path. And so if you guys, and he helps us in our prayer life. We could not even think of half of the things that we think of when we pray if we didn't have the Holy Spirit. He drops all the things in our mind that we need to pray for, how to pray for. He's telling us, you know, how to commune with God. You know, the Bible says our prayer is a sweet savor to God. You know, God, and it also says when we get the Holy Spirit praying in our heavenly language, that it's the perfect prayer and from our lips to God. And that's what made me get SNF. I want it. If I can pray in my heavenly language and it goes directly to God's ear, I want that. Amen. So if you don't have it, you need to get it. See me after service in the front so everybody can be praying. And we want this church fired up, praying in the Holy Spirit, right?